You're listening to Simpler One Earth Living from Jubilee One Earth Economics and Simpler Living Works with co-hosts Lee Van Ham and Jerry Iverson. Today we feature Lee's conversation one with Angelica Juarez de Swanson and Lindsay Mercer Robledo from the September gathering of three Jubilee Circles in San Cristobal de las Casas in Chiapas, Mexico.
Just what is the best way for us to engage the overwhelming happenings today? Where do we talk? I mean, have productive conversation about extreme weather, appreciating equal value of genders, immigration, white supremacy, attacks on a free press, the loss of civility in many public conversations, or capitalism's race to further divide rich and poor while being openly hostile to Earth's better way of living. It's most likely to happen where we gather with a small group of devoted people willing to risk status and privileges in this world as they pursue living interdependently with all creatures. It's such groups and their joint actions, not technology, that are best able to find and walk the One Earth path during the apocalypse that we have entered across our planet. Margaret Mead, a cultural anthropologist, has often been quoted in this regard, so I'll do it too. A few decades ago, as she studied different cultures, Margaret Mead came to a conclusion that resonates with this moment. Never doubt that a small group of meaningful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has.
Greetings, Lee, from Sioux City, Iowa, and Simple Living Works.
I greet you, Jerry, from San Diego and Jubilee One Earth Economics. Today's podcast features a conversation I had with two women from two different small groups of spiritual activists in Mexico. In Jubilee, we call these Jubilee Circles. On September 7, 8, and 9, a dozen people from three Jubilee Circles, San Diego, San Mateo in the state of Puebla, Mexico, and San Cristobal in the state of Chiapas, Mexico, met to share and plan for the unfolding of the Jubilee movement in our areas of greatest impact. What a time we had. Well, on the final afternoon, Lindsay Mercer Robledo and Angelica Juarez de Swanson and I snatched 40 minutes to have the conversation we share with you today on this podcast. Lindsay and Angelica are further introduced in the recording, so I won't say more about them now. When we look at the work, and when we look at where the work of the people in the Jubilee Circles was 3 years ago, as we did at this encuentro, we called it, 3 years ago and where it is now, wow, we're greatly encouraged. It happened, as Margaret Mead said, through a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens. In this case, the commitment in these Jubilee Circles is generated by a sacred stirring that we understand to be a divine call in our lives. We didn't have budgets of hundreds of thousands of dollars, but courage has been called forth. Hope and new dignity are lifting people daily. Poor and ordinary people are being empowered. We're getting things done. Prayer and spiritual activism are basic to what we do. Remember Standing Rock? The indigenous people had just led the way in showing the power of prayer and standing with Mother Earth, not attacking her. Their example is inspiring and a model, which, wow, I wish we could emulate more fully. It was at the end of the gathering when we did this conversation. Our minds were fatigued, but the vision comes through anyway. Listen.
Well, I'm welcoming some guests to the Common Good podcast. I think it's the first time for each of them. And we are sitting in a home in San Cristobal, Chiapas, in Mexico, the southernmost state of Mexico. And we have nearly completed about 3 days of an encuentro, we call it, of three Jubilee circles, the San Diego Jubilee Circle, the San Mateo Jubilee Circle, which is just outside of Puebla City in central Mexico, and also San Cristobal Jubilee Circle. Now, you may hear some extraneous noises, and that's simply because we're in a house with other people in it, and it just could happen, so who knows. And then we probably forgot to turn off our phones and things like that, so have fun with us, will you? We're going to be talking about really where is this Jubilee movement headed in these next few years as far as we discern it today. So let's just begin here. Shall I start with you, Angelica? And I'll just say you've come here from San Mateo. Let me just say that Angelica is a physician and an artist and been just such a devoted part of Jubilee. So what would you say is the significance of our three circles coming together in this encuentro and what has been happening here?
This encuentro has been very exciting, and we really were looking forward to meet together with people from San Diego and people from San Cristobal and from San Mateo. And it has been a very rich time sharing our stories, sharing our vision, sharing our dreams. It has been wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Lindsay, what are your feelings?
I agree with Angelica. I think that it's been a wonderful time spending these past few days, this weekend, sharing our dreams, our hopes, our aspirations for our projects. And also, we did take some time with sharing some sad parts of what's happened with our projects and, you know, the frustrations and the struggles that we've encountered. And I think that's a very important part to share as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that was Lindsay. I didn't say that Lindsay Mercer Robledo is, fairly newly married to Isaí Robledo. Mm-hmm. She came here as a missionary with the UCC. She comes from Missouri, and then she fell in love with Isaí. She also, I think, fell in love with Chiapas and the deep call of, that she felt to continue in missionary work here, so she's continued here. And did I say your full name? I forget, Angelica. Angelica Juarez de Swanson, did I say that? Okay, good. Okay, so think about this encuentro now, these last couple of days. What are you especially pleased to have learned? Can you think about what that might be? Is there some one thing that you heard from another circle? Is it something that someone said, a particular moment that stands out in your mind? You look like you may be ready, Angelica. Is that true?
I think everything we have shared, it is important, but to be together and to listen more carefully about, as Lindsay said, our struggles, not only our victories or success in the ministry. And I think being honest in our weaknesses and also in the opportunities and all that we have in front of us has been very useful to prepare for what is coming in our paths in Jubilee Economics here in Mexico.
Isn't that wonderful English? I mean, English is her second language, and it's just great. Thank you. And how about you, Lindsay? Is there any particular moment that stands out, or more than one perhaps?
I'd actually have to say that there was a moment that really struck me. Obviously, I enjoyed the entire encuentro and learning about what everyone else is doing in San Diego and in San Mateo. But there's one thing that actually that you said that really struck a chord with me is that the Jubilee Circle in San Diego mm-hmm. has a partnership, or you guys collaborate with mm-hmm. the Jubilee USA network mm-hmm. in the U.S., obviously, and that they help with debt cancellation, mm-hmm. especially with student loans. And I am a fairly recent graduate. I graduated in 2010 from Lyndon Wood University. And I'm struggling right now with student loan debt. Mm-hmm. Entonces. mm-hmm. And so I'm mixing my Spanish and my mm-hmm. my English. but that was actually a moment that really mm-hmm. struck with me, like, wow, there's people out there that really want to help these mm-hmm. students out. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so the message of the part of the Jubilee message that speaks of canceling debt, forgiving debt, even as the Lord's Prayer is, you know, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, very much a part of Jubilee. Yes, so this is something that, student debt is something that needs to be addressed. It's such an extremely radical issue. So we'll continue that conversation, Lindsay.
Okay.
Now, I have a question. So here we are talking about Jubilee. This isn't a particularly, we don't do this a lot on the Common Good podcast. We mention it, but we don't talk much in depth. So what is it about Jubilee that makes people here in Mexico respond to it? You know, why have you responded to it? My sense is, as I listen to everyone talking during our conversations in this encuentro, that Jubilee has struck a deep chord in the lives of our circles, and the cosmovision of Jubilee is one that just grabs our imaginations, and the practices of it strike a chord with what we want our lives to be about. What is it that seems to have, how has this taken hold in you in particular?
I don't know if I got the question, but I understood that how Jubilee has impacted our communities and especially our lives.
Yes.
Okay. I think knowing the biblical base about Jubilee is like a dream and like a recuperation of the original plan of God that many of the people, even in the churches, have mm-hmm. forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, reading the Bible, learning about what is Jubilee has enriched my own life, to work with people who do almost the same, but they don't call it Jubilee. Mm-hmm. They really don't know many, and sometimes they don't know the word or the mm-hmm. the passage in the Bible. Mm-hmm. But we in this ministry have many opportunities to work with other people who are doing the same, mm-hmm. and also learning mm-hmm. Every day.
Mm. Yes, you make such an important point that for some people, knowing that this vision and practice called Jubilee or Sabbath Jubilee, some people call it, is very important for people of faith for whom Scripture is important. It's also true, as you've indicated, that people do some of these things by other names, and even, I mean, the Bible may not have any particular authority for them, but nonetheless, their heart is grabbed by some of the issues that Jubilee addresses. Very important to recognize that it isn't that, in some ways, Jubilee isn't that unique, yet on the other hand, it is so unfortunate, it makes me so sad, that thousands and thousands of people in churches who use the Bible in some form do not know about this powerful, powerful call to live the Jubilee. How about you, Lindsay? What about it seems to have grabbed you and the folks here in San Cristobal?
Mm-hmm. Well, personally, I wasn't exposed to Jubilee until about, I want to say, around 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that was thanks to Dan Swanson. Mm-hmm. And ever since that time, I've been little by little applying the Jubilee principles and concepts in my own personal life. And when I've been doing that, I have been noticing people here, not all people, but people here, people who I know who are already applying some of these concepts in their own lives. I would say especially the people, the indigenous people here in Chiapas, they have a really strong concept of that, even though maybe it's not on a biblical standpoint, but it's still something that they do. That they do live.
Yes, that's an important point because there are so many indigenous people here in the state of Chiapas and also actually in the state of Puebla that, you know, Jubilee was not invented by the Jewish people in the Bible. They took parts. No, let me say this differently. They were living in resistance to many people who wanted to recreate an empire for Jewish people. And these Jewish people really did not want to do that at all. And so they realized that they could take the practices of indigenous people of their ancestry and incorporate it into their religious practice. And hence we start having a biblical tradition to Jubilee, as well as like the Mayan tradition, which or the other indigenous practices, which, you know, were not called Jubilee. Do you want to say a little bit more? She mentioned Daniel Swanson, whom I know you know, Daniel, as some people on the podcast know, suddenly died. Almost 2 years ago now, but I know that he had an impact regarding Jubilee in your life as well. I think it'd be important to share that if you're willing.
Yes, of course, my dear husband influenced a lot in my own thinking, because before I met him, I think my vision was very limited, and he could open to me bigger landscape. And for example, I worked with poor people for many years as a missionary in the remote areas, and I tried to help with my skills as a medical doctor. But when I start dating him, he was talking about the roots of poverty, and I didn't think about it. I just saw the problem in front of me. I had many poor people with a lot of needs, but he said, "Why?" Why the people is poor, and how can we help them, not just to, for example, he as an American, having more, how do you say, bienes, goods, or material things, how he could help people, not just giving some money or giving some things, but to prepare them to teach them how to fish. It was his favorite phrase, not give the fish, but to help them how to fish.
And so he talked. Jubilee was his sort of, it was a great concept for him. It was a great vision for him. And he knew that Jubilee gets to systemic issues. And it isn't only humanitarian. Really addresses the systems and how to create new structures that really help people. Well, now, this is my last question for you both. So you may have more to say than what this question involves.
We'll return momentarily to Lee's conversation with Angelica Juarez de Swanson and Lindsay Mercer Robledo from the Jubilee Circles in southern Mexico. Today, immediately following part two of this interview, the Common Good feature will be about alternative media.
And I'd like to insert quickly here that if you want to visit these circles, I hope you do want to visit what they're doing. It's just so extraordinary. Be sure to be on our mailing list for the newsletters and deeply consider going on a delegation with us in 2019. A Jubilee delegation will visit these people. It'll be unlike any. It's nothing like tourism. It's nothing like vacation. It's just a really helpful immersion in ways to find our own path in the kind of world we live in today. So now let's return to the conversation I had with Angelica and Lindsay.
This is my last question for you both. So you may have more to say than what this question involves, but I would just like to have each of you, earlier today, you were part of sharing the future projects, we called them, future projects for Jubilee in your respective circles. So let's share with people. It will, I think, give an idea of what our circles do anyway. Why don't you start on this one, Lindsay, if you can remember some of the things. and if you don't remember them all and you remember more after Angelica shared some, we'll get back to you, okay? You have two chances.
Well, thank you for those chances. I think we have a lot more goals that we want to achieve for this next year, more than projects, because I believe that the work that we have is pretty steady, but we have a lot more goals that we want to achieve to make that work better, if that makes any sense.
Go ahead and just name the project and whatever goal you have for it.
Of course. I think that one of our main goals that we want to achieve for next year is to receive more volunteers especially with my collective group, Alternativas. In the past, we have had problems with keeping volunteers because, for one thing, I have to explain a little bit. I have to give a little background.
Yeah.
Chiapas is one of the poorest states in Mexico, probably the poorest state. And so a lot of people don't make more than about $5 a day. That's kind of like the minimum wage. So it's hard for people to get by and survive. So trying to find volunteers, local volunteers, it's really hard. That's the truth. They're not able to give their time to our projects and our workshops, etc. for us to be able to move on. So normally, whenever we have a workshop, event, activity, etc., it's usually just me and my husband, Isai. So, and sometimes we'll be lucky and we'll have somebody come. Mm-hmm. Kenya, for example, might come. But usually it's, this year especially, it's been just me and my husband. But so next year we're hoping to find some incentives for, to have more volunteers. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We don't know if that's a small, I don't even, incentive of money. Mm-hmm. Or we're still working on that part.
Yes,
yet.
Yes.
But yeah, that's something that we really want to achieve, is to receive more volunteers. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it kind of strikes me that, yeah, if this is the work of the community and there needs to be some shared assets in the community so that it isn't totally volunteer, maybe there's a way to do that. But, we'll have to have people interested in giving us a few more funds to work with for that. Mm-hmm. But that maybe that can be done in a very community kind of way, because Jubilee is, it's a very interrelated kind of vision, as we've been talking about mm-hmm. repeatedly in these days of the Encuentro. We can come back to you.
Okay.
But what, share something of the future project in San Mateo.
We have many expectations about the time for coming, and especially we would like to work with this generation, the youth generation, because we have seen how the globalization, the social networks, and all of all what is moving around us in the world have captured their minds, and we have to speak loudly, and education is one of our tools in sharing the principles of the Jubilee. So we are planning to reach the children, and we are having a program for children under 4 years, and working with their parents also, and we also have plans for involved others in our community, and we are very worried about our planet and how to take care of it, and knowing that we just have one Earth, and we are trying to share in our community, in the schools, radio, and mm-hmm. using everything we have. In our, how do you say, alcance, a nuestro alcance.
Alcance?
Sorry. Every tool we could reach.
Reach.
Oh. Yeah. Reach.
And all this children's work happens in a excellent community center, the Centro Cultural Tlaxpan Dan Swanson, because Dan was such an important figure in the building of that centro. And that centro now is busy with activities almost every day of the month. Then also you mentioned the environment, and I'm just thinking of the water project you do, that you live in a very arid area. Chiapas mm-hmm. is not arid in that way at all, but San Mateo, very arid. And so you need to conserve water, and you're working with that. You're working with compostable toilets. You're working with teaching people to use gray water. These are just wonderful projects of how you follow in the way of Jubilee. Of course, all of these things require funding and incredibly a small amount, like a compostable toilet can be built for $280, for example. So it's an amazing thing that's happening there in San Mateo. Just say another project here in San Cristobal.
Sure. Well, here in the San Cristobal Circle, we have various projects. We actually have three projects in San Cristobal. The first one is Colectivo Alternativas, which we focus more on accompaniment in communities. And our focus is more on ecology, currently. Ecology and solidarity economy. We also have another project called Nasho Hobal. Nasho Hobal has throughout the years has worked on different types of projects and activities, and currently Gloria is the one that's head of Nasho Hobal. She is currently working on a school, a community school for ancestral Mayan medicine.
Okay.
I believe so, if I translated it right. Basically, they're wanting to teach men and women, especially women, the more traditional medicine that we have lost throughout these years. You know, making, for example, a syrup out of different plants that you can take that helps with gastritis, for example.
And this morning we heard a marvelous presentation by a Mayan woman, a health promoter, a medicine woman, I suppose you could call her, but that may have incorrect connotations for some. And Antonia just described these medicines, which are effective, which they are recovering, and which are proving more effective with people suffering from malnutrition or parasites or many things than I don't know, I'll call it Western medicine. And they use a very integral approach that includes prayer and rituals of spiritual powers and practices that are meaningful to people. It was such a moving, moving presentation. I know you only talked about two out of the three, and the third one has to do with Yovel, an itinerant school that Pedro leads, and they do a lot of biblical study training for leadership in churches, but also the formation of the human kinds of programs. So these are some of the things that we've been talking about, planning about, and as we think about Jubilee in Mexico and the U.S. Heading toward 2020, I just want to thank you both for taking this time to share with our listeners. And these are two women who are involved in really amazing activities. I hope you who are listening will come on a delegation in 2019 that Julie sponsors, and you can visit these projects, many of which we have not named, meet the people who are involved in it, meet the people whose lives have been changed in this, and see a part of Mexico you would never see if you came as a tourist. So thank you both so much for being here today.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you so much, Lee.
You've been listening to part two of Lee's conversation with two members of the Jubilee Circles in southern Mexico. Hearing this podcast, you may want to know more about Jubilee Circles. We have a small 64-page book that we're happy to send to you. Just fire off an email to lee@jubilee-economics.org, and we'll send you a free copy, or you can order it online at Amazon. And if you want to join a one-week delegation in 2019 to go and see these circles for yourself, be sure to ask to be on our mailing list and to get the information. Now, our common good feature for this episode. You may ask, why do you guys do this podcast? Well, we truly believe in the missions of Simple Living Works and Jubilee One Earth Economics. The mainstream corporate media, left, right, or center, exists to sell us more stuff. Though we are only the tiniest whisper, we cannot stop offering an honest alternative to the multi-Earth message. There is no planet B. This is the only planet we have. And we can't have infinite growth on a finite planet. So we're offering a list of alternative worthwhile media in the show notes for this episode, and I'll give you some examples. Of course, we probably think first of all of PBS, and they offer many fine programs. But there are many others, too. A couple of networks are available primarily by satellite and online. The first one is called Free Speech TV, or freespeech.org. The other one is Link TV, and that comes through linktv.org. Both of them have terrific public affairs programs, as well as documentaries and many things from around the world. It's not just U.S. oriented. There are others that I will mention quickly that maybe sound suspicious because they aren't from the U.S. You've probably heard things about Al Jazeera, which is the news source from the Middle East. And you may have heard of RT. RT stands for Russia Today. And it's a very fine international news outlet. The news comes from Moscow, but it has many independent programs, some very good public affairs programs that are independent, that are produced by individuals that just happen to be broadcast on the RT network. So that should give you a taste of some good alternative, non-commercial media. And please check out that list in the show notes. Lee?
Great, Jerry. Thanks for those for that common good feature. Well, just quickly, in future episodes, we have some, continue to have some people doing amazing things. We want to interview someone who's going to be telling us about fair trade schools, and you know all the junk that schools sell for fundraisers. What if they were doing fundraisers that were fair trade? Good idea, no? And then there's all these big confinement lots. Take Iowa, that's where Jerry is right now, and so he's going to have an interview with someone from the Sierra Club. Where they're calling for a moratorium on these developing any more of these hog confinement lots, and and we're also going to talk about places to put our retirement if we don't want it to be in Wall Street. Well, that's something of where we're going, Jerry.
Well, I'm excited about it. Have you been listening to our recent episodes? In September, we heard missionary Grace Jerry. Her personal story, from Christian imperialism to liberation for all. In October, we heard from the Cassidys about the climate summit in California. On the mid-month episodes this fall, we're hearing a mini-series on having a less consumer Christmas called Whose Birthday? It's based on an annual publication for individuals, families, and congregations called Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? It gently moves us away from overconsumption, especially at Christmas time when consumerism runs rampant. This is particularly important in a multi-faith culture. Do listen. We're sure to pick up things you'll value. We certainly did as we created these episodes. Also, please subscribe to my Simpler Living Daily Nudge to get quick reminders of Lee's blogs, our podcasts, and other intriguing happenings and events, such as Nonconform Freely Celebrations, that is, ways to honor rites of passage and holidays without consumerism. Please tell us your thoughts on these subjects. Leave a message on the Common Good Podcast and Simple Living Works Facebook pages. Well, it's time to wrap up this episode. If you're a regular listener, you've heard our closing comments, so we'll say goodbye now. But if you're a newer listener, here's what we'd like you to know about this podcast. Please subscribe to Jubilee Economics, One Earth, and Simple Living Works blogs. If you're a subscriber, you'll be told when we post something new. Subscriptions are free. Subscribe to our blogs through our websites. You can also subscribe to our podcasts at iTunes or your favorite podcast service. Urge your friends to do the same. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works and co-host Lee Van Ham with Jubilee One Earth Economics, wishing you well as we strive together to bring simpler One Earth living into being for the common good.